Today, I want to spend a few moments with you in the Word of God as we, as believers in Jesus Christ, the light that came into the world, to push back the darkness. Ooh, I got my, I'm not used to doing this, so I'm going to do it. I'm out of practice, okay. In the ancient world, light was crucial. Absolutely critical to the survival of mankind. Light was needed for hunting and planting and harvesting. Light was necessary for security as they dealt with outlaws and as they dealt with wild animals. They could not live without light. Well, in the ancient world, there were really two sources of light that they would use at night inside. Either they would use candles or they would use lamps. Now, there's a difference between these two because when it comes to candles, there were two main trade guilds that made candles. One was the tallow candle, which was made from animal fat. Most poor people use this kind of candle to illuminate the darkness. It was very, very cheap, but there was one problem. The odor was unbelievable. And so they snuff it out as fast as they could, as long as they needed it, and then get rid of it because it wasn't very pleasant to have it, but there were times you absolutely needed to have it. Well, there's also then the wax, beeswax candles. Beeswax candles were mainly used by the wealthy, people who didn't have to put up with the odor. They had the resources necessary to light the inside of their homes without all of the negative smell. Well, we know that light is a prominent theme in Scripture. We know this because the very first thing that God would create was light. On day four, he would create the sun and the moon and the stars. But on day one, he created light. And we know that light is electromagnetic radiation that just shoots out there that makes it possible for us to see all things before us. Listen to the words of the Spirit as we read from Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless. There was an earth. It was formless. It was empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." I put batteries in here. Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. We continue with other places in the Scripture where light is a theme. Proverbs 20 and 27 reads, "The lamp of Yahweh searches the spirit of a man." It searches his inmost being. God's light. The light that he created. The light that will be there when everything else is gone. It searches inside of a man. In Revelation 22 and verse 5, there will be no more night. There will be no need for the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. So before creation and after the destruction of this created earth, there's light. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus would say these words. He used these two symbols throughout his ministry, especially in the Sermon on the Mount, to talk about discipleship. Salt and light. In the first century Roman world, the Romans had a saying, the greatest blessings in life are the sun and salt. And Jesus used these to talk about what discipleship really means to us. He says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? You're also the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father who is in heaven. Well, let's take a closer look at this passage when Jesus says you're the light of the world. What he was saying to his disciples and what he is saying to us today is we are transmitters of this light. We are transmitters of truth. When we shine, when we are visible in our communities, truth is going to be expelled in all directions. We illuminate the darkness. We illuminate, here is the truth. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul would say it this way, do everything. Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault and a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like the stars in the universe. There's so much darkness today. I was just surfing the internet was putting in, you know, what are there titles of movies or books that refer to darkness, and here's a few. Zero Dark 30, The Dark Knight, Dark Phoenix, Dark Waters, The Dark Knight Rises, and this is just a small sample. Dark, dark, dark. And the popularity of these movies seems to be growing, especially with the younger folk. Well, I was reading, asking the question, why are so many people attracted to the dark? Why do we like that? And one psychologist wrote in an article, he says, many, if not most, people feel unreal and disconnected with reality. This is what happens. When we're attracted to dark, when we're attracted to the opposite of light, there is a disconnection that takes place with reality, with other people. He says, disconnected with reality. So watching dark or even depressing movies is an avenue of expressing our own emotions. Have you ever noticed mass shooting? People show up with candles. People who don't even know each other. Maybe from the neighborhood or the community or wherever, they come and they stand shoulder to shoulder and they sing and they pray and people speak. But they let those lights shine. It's so important to them that light is being illuminated in this time of darkness. The light is a symbol, if you will, that there is hope, that what has happened that has brought darkness someday will give way to light. It's just amazing that automatically nobody says, hey, let's grab a candle and show up. You know, people know to do that. And then people are attracted to that area because of the light. The church is here to push back the darkness. The church is here in our ministries and in our personal lives to push back the darkness. We illuminate for this community. We illuminate for the world that there is hope and there is healing. in Psalm 36 and verse number 9. David says, "For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light." So as we bask in the light of Jesus Christ, we come to understand things that we did not understand before. When we, as Paul says in Ephesians, walked in darkness, we become the light that we learn from Jesus. In Psalm 97, David would say it this way, "Light is shed on the righteous and joy on the upright in heart." Life, light is a life blessing. And then going back to Matthew 5, he says, "We're a city on a hill." What does that mean? We're to be radiant, visible. We're to be seen, not so much heard. It seems like today, in today's culture, that evangelical Christianity is all about being heard. But Jesus says a city on a hill must be, it's visible, it's radiant. And it's visible and it's radiant because it is attractive. People are drawn to us because they see the way that we live. They understand that we're not affected by the darkness. We're not affected by all the depression and all the negativity that exists in our world. Visible, radiant, attractive. Passage that I believe captures this comes from 1 Peter 3. Peter, given instructions, says, "Wives, in the same way be submissive to your husbands. If any of them do not believe the word, they will be won over without words because of their behavior." My mom and dad were married for 52 years before my dad passed. In a year 45 or 46, my dad obeyed the gospel. And the thing I remember about that home and the tensions in the home, but also the good things, is that mom never preached to us, the kids, and especially my dad. She respected my dad. She served my dad. She just let her light shine. And when the time came when my dad began to make changes, and he begins to focus his gaze in the direction of light, it wasn't a far walk from, he wasn't beaten to the baptistry. He wasn't should have all the way to those waters. He was attracted by what my mom would do. And he wasn't a believer for all those years. And my mom would say to us kids, "We will respect your daddy because he is the leader of this home. We don't always agree with him, but we will respect him. We will serve him." I love what Dwight Moody said back in the 1800s. He says, "Hey, we're told to let our light shine. And if it does, we won't need to tell anybody that it does." He says, "Lighthouses don't fire cannons to call attention to their shining. They just shine." And if you want that 5-minute sermon or 5-second sermon, just shine. Tone down the rhetoric. Live it like you believe it. Amp up the light in your life. Demonstrate what real Christian joy is all about in a community where there's so much darkness that is prevailing among us. So, can you believe it? Before 11:30, here's the deal. Now, this could be a long here's the deal. Fred, you're going to be able to be on time today. Hope all you're all going today to hear him perform, okay? Thank you for the 50. All right. From John 1, I want to read these words. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Or in arcane ho logos. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Took my dad 46 years. Christmas is a reminder. The light of Jesus has come into the world. Like electromagnetic radiation, we just shoot out the wavelengths. We illuminate the truth. We embrace and share the joy of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this church family that has made visible the gospel of our Lord. We agree with David in his prayer when he said, "You, O Yahweh, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light." Father, may this church continue to make visible and radiant your light. In Jesus' name.